Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Hey folks, it's Carrie Oberbrunner. I have with me a very special guest, Greg McAfee, and he is a really interesting guy who has a very cool story. Welcome, Greg, to the show.
Thank you, Carrie. I appreciate you having me.
Well, listen, you came highly recommended. Dr. Heyman, our dean at Cedarville of the business school, he basically said you got to talk to Greg. And I live in Columbus, but I know you really have had a significant legacy down in your area. Where are you located, your main business?
We are in Kettering, Ohio, which is a suburb of Dayton.
Yes. Okay. And I love the story about starting back, I think it's 1990, with $274 in a used truck or van or something. Can you take us back there? Because I work with a lot of young entrepreneurs who don't have much more money than that, and maybe not even a truck. And I think they're going to find your story inspiring.
Sure. And if you see my dog in the background, that's Kai. I forgot to put him up, actually.
Oh, you're okay.
He's very well trained. Just to go back a little ways, unlike a lot of your interviews, I didn't care for school at all. Mm. High school bored me because I never did find out, you know, what I wanted to do early enough. So I worked a lot, and I started off with a paper route. I had a vegetable route. I worked two jobs. I was in a work program my junior and senior year of high school, and I got out of school at 11 o'clock, and I did what I loved. I went to work, and I worked two jobs during high school. So long story short, I turned 19 years old. I was working for two different companies. And my grandfather had retired from Firestone Rubber Company in Akron, Ohio. That's where I was born. And my dad at the time probably had maybe 15, 20 years service. And they were moving from, we lived in Mansfield, Ohio. They were moving from there to Dayton. And my dad said, if you want in, I can get you in. And I said, I was 19 years old. I said, I'm there. So, I packed up a pickup truck and moved to Dayton, Ohio. I'd never been to Dayton, Ohio in my life. So I started working at Firestone, and I enjoyed it. It was pros and cons of a union position. It was the United Rubber Workers. Pros and cons. The pro, I was 19 years old, and I was making a lot of money. The con was I started breaking records, loading and unloading tires, and the warehouse manager posted some, brought out a bulletin board and posted results, goals. And I was always on top, but the union filed a grievance and they said, you're not allowed to have a bulletin board out here. So there goes the goals down the drain.
Wow.
Which I talk about often today. Imagine a small business with no goals. So so I worked there for probably 4 years, and I watched older guys getting up in my age now, older guys getting up and down forklifts. And I said, I don't want to do this the rest of my life. So I actually joined the Marine Corps. I served 2 years in the Marine Corps. And within the Marine Corps, I took a refrigeration course just random for extra credit, and I liked it. So when I got out of the Marine Corps, Firestone had held my job. I went back to work at Firestone. I took heating and air class course at night, and it was a one-year course, so I got my certificate. And I left Firestone. I took a 50% pay cut. And started in heating and air conditioning. About 1 year later, the owner, small business, less than six people, owner called me in and said, you'll never make it as a mechanic. I got to let you go. So I then, 2 days later, I got another job. Heating and air conditioning has always been the same. It's all, someone's always hiring. That's okay. The good news. So I got another job, made a little bit more money per hour. And at that position, they actually taught me more about service and I realized running service calls in people's homes that I had a knack for, number one, making people like me, number two, selling. And it goes back to the paper route days when I was 13, 14 years old, going door to door with newspapers, collecting. Yeah. I got used to dealing with people. So I would just ask basic questions. Do you folks know how old this system is? And they would typically guess wrong. And I'd say, well, it's actually 15 years old. It's probably time to consider. And I'd sell systems. And it got to be where I was out selling their salesperson, which was kind of fun because it was competition. He just didn't know it. And long story short, they weren't running very well. And they laid me off about 3 months before they closed their doors. Wow. So at that time, it was 1990. I'd been dating my wife for a couple of years. We got married. We bought our first home. It was a small 800 square foot ranch that was a rental property. So it needed remodeled, and I had plenty of time to do that. And I decided, she knew it was my goal. So it was our goal to start a business one day. And I just decided now's the best time. So I put out my shingle, and I knew nothing about business. I'd never taken a business course in my life. The first business book I ever read was by Larry Burkett, Business by the Book. I still have the original book. I probably read it 10 times, and I've probably bought 50 to 100 copies and shared it with other guys that kind of think like me. And so it was just a neat book to get started. It was just the biblical principles of running a business, which we still apply today. So, but I wore out a lot of shoes. And remember, this was before the McAfee virus company was, if they were around, they were very small. This was before we had internet, but it was so slow, it was almost worthless. We didn't have cell phones. If we did, it was a big box, right, to carry around. And but we did have what was called.
Did you have beepers?
We did have pagers. Yeah. We did have a crisscross directory. It was a big, thick book, blue book, about this thick. Okay. And it had everybody's address and landline in the Dayton area. And you could go down street. So the advantage was I could pick Oak Street and go down and call everybody on Oak Street. And I had a series of questions that I asked. And out of 100 calls, I'd get one person that said, yeah, come out, do a checkup or something. And so I called hundreds of calls a day. And then every other day I would go out and just knock on. I'd go to a shopping center and I just go in and ask, do you guys need anything done with your heating and air, filter change, anything? So again,
you were very comfortable with rejection.
You have to be. You really do. And I got better and better at that because that's what it takes to sell. You've got to understand no to get to the yeses.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I did all week. And we actually in our little 800 square foot ranch, my wife was extremely patient, and we had sticky notes up on the cabinets, and that was what we call today. We have a D board, which is actually our schedule. And that was my D board back then. It was just Monday through Saturday. And, you know, hopefully we had sticky notes up there because it was a very, very slow process. I think we did 60,000 the first year with just me. And then I hired a helper, and, you know, we gradually grew. We grew one person a year for the first 15 years. And I just had the tenacity to keep going. And I talk about this a lot, but the second year in business, my phone didn't even ring for 2 years. And I'm sorry, for 2 weeks rather.
2 weeks. Why? So because
2 weeks, no phone calls, no business. And a lot of people, like at my church, was like, they were like, when are you going to get a job? Or when, how long are you going to keep doing this? And it finally picked up, and, you know, and we just kept going at it. So, but I had $274 when I started. I still have the check ledger, the original little check ledger, $274. And I bought a used truck, and I put a used cap on the back, and I went and had my logo put on it. We developed some sort of logo back then, and I had my logo put on it. But I drove that truck everywhere because I had nothing to do. So it was just a mini billboard to get my name out there the best I could. And it was a slower process to get going back then than what you could today, because now I help companies get started, and we can do it a lot faster today. But I still don't recommend too fast, because too fast a growth normally will take you under faster than lack of capital. Wow. So, but in the along the way, I said I hated school. I learned to love school, and I've taken hundreds of different courses. I've got certified through the John Maxwell. Program, and I was very involved in a group here called Aileron, which Clay Mateel founded. Clay Mateel was the sole owner of Iams Pet Food, and he started an entrepreneurial center to help local entrepreneurs grow their business, especially when Frigidaire and NCR and everybody was leaving Dayton. I got very involved in that, and I took a lot of courses out there to understand basics of business and basics of being a president of a company and basic leadership. And then I ended up teaching, branding and advertising classes out there. But so I got very involved, and I've read probably 1,000 books since 34 years. Jeez. And I'm a constant learner. I love learning, and I love teaching. And so in a nutshell, that was my beginnings.
I love it. Couple questions around there.
Sure.
So interesting, because John Maxwell, I joined his team as well back in 2011, and it was revolutionary. It helped me realize I could leave the pastorate and become an entrepreneur. And what I appreciate about your story is that you hustled, and there's, we live in a day and age right now where I don't want to judge young people. I'm impressed with a lot of young people over at Cedarville, but there is this mentality of, you should be handed things. We even live in a government that, teaches that at some level, but you didn't. You went out and you said, look, I'm going to own my results. And that is one of the key things of the e-mind that we talk about. You made embarrassment your friend by going out and getting rejected. So can you teach these skills, or do you think you're just wired that way?
No, I think a lot of them, of course, you got to be wired a certain way. I mean, you've got, number one, you've got to be motivated. You've got to have energy. You got to want it. But a lot of it can be taught. A lot of it, we hire a lot of young people. We hire people right out of high school, and we have a complete training lab. We partner with a school that's accredited in HVAC, so we can partner with them and send them to their training as well as ours. But once the school sees our training, a lot of it's done right here. We have on-the-job training, and then we have in-house a full training lab with operating systems here that we train on. And but they get, after a year or two, they get their, quote, degree in HVAC, and they've made a lot of money along the way. So they're way ahead of some of their friends who are still in college. But we're really trying to raise the bar in the trades, because over the years, it's every parent thought their children was college material, when only 50% of them actually are. And so we've really pushed, and my son's working on his PhD, so I'm definitely pro education, but I'm also pro trade. That's what I do. And there's a lot of guys that should be in the trades that are really suffering in college. So I say all that to say there's a lot of things that can be taught to be more of a professional and more of a successful entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Instead of just going out there and, installing boxes and working out of a, one man, we call them one chuck in a truck. There's more to that in our industry. It's a very professional industry.
Just spend 60 seconds on this because I'm just curious. Do you see females entering the trades? If so, what's been the result?
Yeah, we don't have any in the field right now, but we have had, and a lot of them are extremely hard workers, and they're very meticulous, sometimes more meticulous than a male when it comes to detail of checking out a system. So we really appreciate that.
Interesting. Yeah, I was just curious. Okay, so talk to us about Cedarville. How did you get connected to Cedarville? And, you know, one thing, by the way, before we get into that, I am so impressed. This is pretty bold. On your website, at the bottom right-hand corner, need prayer and John 3:16. What in the world, my friend? Has that ever come back to bite you? Does it help? Why do you do it? Maybe talk about that, and then we'll get into Cedarville.
Sure. Well, from day one, I've learned John Maxwell say, I've heard John Maxwell say before, rather, that there really is no such thing as a Christian business. There's a business with a Christian owner. Mm. And I've been a Christian. I got saved before I got married. Saved at a older age, per se. I was about 26. And so I've been a Christian my entire business career.
Wow.
And I put John 3:16 on my business cards from day one, which it's a conversational piece. And most people have heard of John 3:16. But we have had a few people call and say, can I speak to John? You know, it's kind of funny.
Ah.
But, because it was on the card. But anyway, I've represented the best I can Jesus in my business by the book, just doing things biblically based and doing them the best way I can. I'm not always perfect and I make mistakes and all that good stuff, but I've tried to represent him well. And so we came out, we've had a lot of people call and through multiple things that we do, it's very obvious that I'm a Christian, or some people say, you know, religious. So we've had people call in and request prayer. So I just decided to go ahead and put a thing on my website. I think it's almost on every page that you can request prayer. And I get probably 3 to 4 of those a week.
Wow.
People requesting prayer. And I have a group of guys and gals that I send it off to. I don't mention names or anything. I just say this person needs help in their marriage. This person needs help with their health. And we pray for them. We take it serious.
Wow. Have you ever had it offend or turn off somebody?
Of course.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, if it really offends someone that bad, I'm sorry.
But, yeah.
That's just the way it is. It's not.
No, that's great. That's great.
It's not coming down because I offend a few people.
Yeah. No, I love it.
We service probably over 30,000 people. So if it offends a few, you know.
Yeah.
What can you say?
That's right.
No matter what we do, we're going to offend somebody.
That is the truth. That is the truth. Somebody won't like your website because it's red. I don't know.
Exactly.
So how did you get associated with Cedarville or connected? I'm curious.
You know, it goes way back. I just started supporting different events going on and some sports, basketball, promoting, you know, the company in there and stuff like that, which led to some leadership events and some seminars that were put on that we supported and backed. And, you know, it's just a good, solid Christian school in the area, and it's a good school to sponsor. So I don't even know how long it could be. 15, 20 years.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I mean, Dr. Heyman speaks really well of you, and I know we have a business impact conference coming up in the fall. And, you know, just to, the webpage isn't up yet, but, you know, I'm a big proponent of blending business and value creation with Christ-centered. I think the two do fit well. I think business can be an incredible platform to share the gospel. But let's be honest, Greg, and maybe we'll spend the last 5 minutes here. If you put yourself out there as a believer, yes, I appreciate how we're not going to be perfect, and I'm right there with you. But do you feel like it adds another layer of accountability, pressure, or do you not see that?
Yeah, see, I don't. I don't know if it's my personality or, you know, God made me who I am. It just doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
I am not, you know, a lot of people say, why do you mix religion with business? Because it's who I am. I'm the entrepreneur, and it is who I am. I founded this thing with God's help, and I just manage it. So why wouldn't I talk about Jesus? Why wouldn't I talk about biblical things? You know, it just makes sense because it's who I am. If I try to hide that or separate it, per se, from my business, I don't know. I think I'd have a lot to answer for there.
Yeah.
Because it's who I am.
We were just at a secular entrepreneurship conference down in Florida, and our team publishes people, and we knew that one of our authors just went through a recent really tough tragedy. We were walking to the hotel, and God had laid on my heart that morning, listen, if you see so-and-so, just invite him if he'd like prayer. And so we step in the hotel, and I said, hey, do you mind if my team prays for you? And we end up praying for him right then and there, and he just started crying. And it was really impactful. And I do feel like, you know, as a former pastor, I almost feel like you can be, as long as you're adding value and you're serving your clients, you almost can have this chaplain effect. And I've never seen that prayer thing on your website. That's powerful. That's really powerful.
Well, like you, when people call, if I'm with them or on the phone with them, even Messenger, because people Messenger me, and I
interesting.
Know who they are. And I decided long ago that if someone says, will you please pray for me, I pray for them right there.
That's cool.
Because, number one, a lot of times once you get busy,
you forget
to pray for them. And I just pray for them right there. And
wow.
I'll tell you what, hearts have been changed right there on the phone. Someone post, I don't know if you've ever heard, we do a breath of fresh air. I've been doing it for over 15 years. It's on the radio. It's 60 seconds, and it's called a breath of fresh air.
Wow.
So it has nothing to do with McAfee Heating. It is strictly upbeat, positive. I mentioned Jesus. I mentioned God. If I feel like it. It's not everything's
sure.
But when I feel led, that's what I write, and that's what I say. So, but someone sent me a messenger the other day, and it said, hey, Greg, I need one of your breath of fresh airs right now.
Mm.
And I said, oh, yeah. I said, what's up? And they said, I'm going through a terrible divorce. Mm. I'm not living in my house. I'm sleeping on an air mattress in a friend's basement. And I lost my job.
Wow.
And so I said, well, hey, can you talk? And they could. So I called and I talked to him, and he was at the lowest point of his life. And I said, so I asked him some questions, and, you know, he wasn't where he needed to be with God. And he actually lost his job because he drank too much one night.
Mm.
And but I got to talk to him. I got to witness to him. I got to give him some advice, and I prayed for him.
Wow.
And 30 days later, he writes me another messenger and said, hey, Greg, I just want to thank you for taking the time. I've taken your advice, and God has provided a new job and a place to live. and I'm feeling so much better, and I haven't had a drink since we talked.
Gee.
So
that's awesome.
I tell guys all the time, alcohol is not going to help you feel better.
Mm.
And they think it will, and it does. It makes it worse.
Mm.
I know. Like I said, I didn't become a Christian until I was 26, and I was in the Marine Corps, and a lot of opportunity for drinking.
Yeah.
And anyway, so I know that. And but I was able to witness to him, and hopefully he sticks with that, and it turns his whole life around.
Mm. Wow. Listen, last question, and we'll go into our speed round here. So by the way, folks, check out McAir. Is that how I pronounce it?
Yeah, McAir.
MCAir.com. Yep, MCAir.com. So last thing would be, how do you define winning in business?
I think I define winning as taking care of people, which we've tried to do from day one.
Yeah.
We just tried to take care of people and actually listen to them and take care of their home. We're in, you know, thousands of homes a week. So, you know, winning is something different to everyone. Sometimes I coach and I hold different seminars and boot camps, and to some guys, it's just making money. And if you're going to chase money, you're going to chase it forever. But when you take care of people better than anyone else and provide for them, the money will always come, or it seems
good.
To.
That's good.
So I just, number one would be just taking care of people.
I like that. Well, Greg, this has been really a powerful conversation. It's awesome that you had never taken a business class and here you are a lifelong learner. It's awesome that you have prayer on your website and you're adding value to people. And it's just, you know, I know why Dr. Heyman said we needed a chat. So thank you for your role. Thanks for supporting Cedarville. And we see you going even more big places. Thank you, Greg.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/emind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.